Krishna Padaya, Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale, Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swamini Tanamani. Namaste Saraswati Devi, Gauravani Pacharani, Nivasesha Sanyavadi Pushkati Desatari. Om Aganatamirandasya, Jana Jana Salakaya, Chaksu Samiratam Jaina, Tasmai Sri Guruve Namah. Sri Chaitanya Manabhistam, Stapitam Jaina Bhutale, Sayam Rupa Kadamayam, Dadati Sa Pandantikam. Vancha Kalpa Tubhischa, Kripa Sindhu Vaivacha, Patitanam Pamilebhyo, Vaisanibhyo, Namo Namah. Yesterday, we concluded by hearing how Krishna had entered the water of the Jamuna and he was playing fearlessly in the water. And Kaliya recognized that this was actually a trespass or even an attack on his residence, and because of all the poison that filled the Yamuna, he didn't get very many visitors. Sometimes the birds would drop in because the poison was so powerful, just the vapor from that poison, patyantyada, would cause them to fall down in the Yamuna's waters, dead. It was actually a terrible scene. The fog from the vapors of the poison in the Yamuna was hanging very heavily. The waters themselves were reddish in color due to the poison, and practically no other living entities could live in there other than these snakes headed by Kaliya. And then Krishna, having climbed so high, according to his own plan, he climbed so high on that kadamba tree. Just imagine, raise your hand if you visited that kadamba tree. That's everyone. Yes. That kadamba tree is so nice. And just imagine that the kadamba tree, having received the nectar of Garuda, that Garuda had carried, was just waiting for years and years and years and years for Krishna to climb upon on her branches. Just waiting for the touch of Krishna's lotus feet. That reminds me of in the middle of the, not the middle, but in the later chapters, perhaps chapter 70 of the 10th canto of the Bhagavatam, right at the very end of that chapter that describes Krishna's daily activities in Dwarka, a messenger comes. And that messenger is from kings of Dwarka who had been captured, similar to the way, in one sense, that Krishna had been captured by Kaliya, in one sense. But those, the messenger came and said, these kings, it came from the kings who had been captured, and they were in so much distress. Jarasandha was going to sacrifice them. And when confronted with their immediate death, they were thinking about what was valuable and what was not valuable in their lives. And they realized that they had spent their lives fighting amongst each other, trying to gain more and more in their kingdoms, and being envious and being conquered, and plotting and scheming and not being satisfied. And there they were. So they understood that in this circumstance, no one could protect them other than Krishna. So they sent this messenger to Krishna. And Krishna was simultaneously invited. Does anyone know where at the same time he was invited to? The Rajasuya sacrifice of Yudhisthira. So he asked Uddhava, Krishna, the supreme, all-knowing, personality of Godhead, he wasn't sure what to do first. He wasn't sure whether he should take up the mission of the kings or attend the Rajasuya sacrifice of Yudhisthira. Narada Muni had invited him on behalf of Yudhisthira. And he asked Uddhava, what should I do? Uddhava was the advisor and so intelligent, the most intelligent student of Brihaspati, so intelligent that although Brihaspati had so many other students that were senior to Uddhava, he himself taught Uddhava, because Uddhava was so special and he was Krishna's dearest friends. And Krishna says in the Uddhava Gita, amongst the Yadavas, I am Uddhava, he is most dear to me. And Uddhava said, you, practically speaking, my dear Lord Krishna, you have to conquer Jarasandha anyway. Jarasandha must be conquered. Otherwise, how can the Rajasuya sacrifice that proclaims Yudhisthira, the emperor of the earth, be fulfilled? So Krishna said, yes, Uddhava, very good, let us go. And immediately they started journeying in the 71st chapter of the 10th canto to Hastinapur before going to confront Jarasandha. So it describes that the hospitality of Maharaj Yudhisthira, Bhim, Arjun, Nakul, Sahadev, Kunti, and all the other Yadavas, all the Kurus, when they saw Krishna in Hastinapur, it was so great that Krishna stayed there for 3 months. So what does that mean? The kings had sent a message, please save us. We're about to be sacrificed. At any point, we could be killed by this Jarasandha. We surrender unto you. We are your surrendered servants. Please save us. And Krishna replied, yes, this is my promise. And then he waited 3 months in Hastinapur. Now, just imagine what the mood of those kings was during that time. One could think many things, but because they were actually surrendered, they were thinking, oh, maybe today Krishna will come. Maybe today Krishna will give us his mercy. Maybe he will come and save us today, save us from this Jarasandha, this dangerous position, and save us from this most dangerous position in the material world. When will he come? Will it be today? Will it be tomorrow? Will it be the next day? Will I survive more than that? When will Krishna come? When will Krishna come and give us his mercy? Give me his mercy. So this mood that Krishna certainly did orchestrate to pull something from the king's hearts, that when will Krishna come? When will he come? When will he come? Day after day, week after week. You know, why didn't Krishna immediately go? After all, they had all surrendered to him. Why didn't Krishna do exactly as they wanted? For the same reason, he doesn't do exactly what we want. Because he is Krishna. He is all-knowing. He is the only one who knows reality as it is. We have a viewpoint. Being tiny and insignificant, we see reality from our little point. But Krishna sees it from all points of view. And we think we know best. At least I tend to think in that way. But in fact, it is Krishna who knows best. And he does things, in case you haven't noticed yet, the way he wants to do things. So in any case, this, in this poisonous lake of the Jamuna. He had jumped in. He had made musical sounds and played there, carefree, in a carefree manner. No fear at all. And Kaliya had looked at beautiful Krishna, who was dressed. Does anyone remember any of the points of that Sukadeva Goswami mentioned about the beautiful Krishna? Yes. Yellow color vasanam. He was wearing yellow. He had the Srivats marking upon the left part of his chest. And he had, and Kaliya, how did Kaliya see the soft lotus feet of Krishna? Huh? He didn't bite his feet. He bit him on the chest. But how did he see him? Because he was the snake living in the water, coming from underneath. And Krishna was shining, effulgently shining, like a dark, effulgent monsoon cloud, full of water, but full of effulgence. And Kaliya became angry when he saw Krishna and bit him upon the chest. And then immediately, Sanatana Goswami's mood was, embraced him with his coils after kissing him on the chest. But then, and the next verse, and the first verse we'll read today, we're going to hear about how the Brijbasis saw this and how they reacted. And we'll hear what love really is and the depths of love, the possibilities of love. So this particular class was especially made for violin accompaniment. Because the violin is made to touch our hearts. Of course, the harmonium too. And the whole land of Braja is also made like this. But to touch our hearts. And if we can touch the hearts of the Brijbasis, then our hearts will also be touched. We can't imagine, actually speaking, because our imagination, our mind, it cannot reach the transcendental platform. It cannot reach, but we can just get from a distance, perhaps, a glimpse of the love that the Brijbasis were experiencing, and how seeing Krishna, parivittam, Boganaga, parivittam, he was enveloped, completely enclosed, and Kaliya was squeezing him in the coils of the serpent. Tamnaga boga parivittam adrista chestam, that Krishna was not even moving. He was held so tightly, it appeared that he was unconscious. Alokyatad, because Krishna, after all, was with his cowherd boyfriends and the cows. And nearby, there were some cowherd men, some gopas, who were grazing their cows in the fields and were tending the crops. And Alokyatat, Priyasaka, and Pashupa, those who were protecting the animals, seeing this, Krishna's very near and dear Priyasakas, his dearest of friends, seeing Krishna in that condition, they became Brishartha. They became filled with the greatest distress. Why? What caused them to have the experience of great distress when we hear the story, the pastime, the Leela of Krishna so many times, and we think it is a very great story perhaps, or we think it's a very, very interesting story, or a very colorful story, or a very dramatic story, but we don't feel distress. Sukadeva Goswami was feeling that distress. Maharaj Prickett was so disturbed, and Sukadeva Goswami was trying to explain it to him, or even skip over this pastime, to avoid Maharaj Prickett so close to the time when he's departing this world to feel distress. But we in the Harinam retreat, at one point we read one song by Vasu Ghosh, where he was lamenting, why has the Creator placed a stone in place of the heart of Vasu Ghosh? If we have a relationship with Krishna, then naturally, just as we would feel distressed to see any beloved of ours, to hear about, see any beloved of ours experiencing difficulty, naturally causes distress. So this is how the cowherd boys, the cowherd men, and then in the next verse we will hear about the cows, how they reacted to seeing Krishna, practically speaking, unconscious within the coils of Kaliya. So why were they experiencing this? Krishna arpita. They had offered Krishna atma, themselves. I am yours. This is the hallmark of surrender. Tavasmi, I am yours. Triyatsise. Lord Ramachandra prays, and anyone who even once prays in that way, abhayam sarvadat tasmai dadam yatad vitam mama, that I will award him with fearlessness, because not only is he thinking that I am yours, O Lord, but the Lord is thinking that yes, he is mine. Kauntea pratijani. Name bhakti pranashiti. So they arpitatma. They had offered Krishna themselves. They had offered Krishna, Surid, their dearest relatives and friends, Surid, Arta, their wealth, everything they saw was Krishna's. Although it may be inconceivable for us, we, in this condition, but they did not think of anything as their own, as for their own pleasure. They saw everything, their wealth, their very selves, their surids, their friends, their relatives, their kalatra, their wives, and all their desires were all focused on pleasing Krishna. And this is the nature of Vishuddha Prema. Everything for Krishna. And therefore, Brishartha, they were feeling great distress. Karatra Kama, all their desires. They had unlimited desires. And we saw this with Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada. He had unlimited desires. Unlimited desires, but they were centered on the pleasure of Krishna. Everything was meant for Krishna's pleasure. He was ready to take over the world. He was ready to attack the scientists, the atheists, the this, the that. But for Krishna, when he saw big buildings, he thought this would make a wonderful temple. One time, I think it was Jamuna Devi Dasi, who was, she had a dream. Yeah. She had a dream. And she told this to Prabhupada. I think this was in San Francisco in 1967, at one of the very intimate classes that Prabhupada had, perhaps 68, with the devotees. 1968. And she told Prabhupada that she had a dream, that Prabhupada led a kirtan that was so grand that the whole world joined in. And at the end, Prabhupada said, Jai Om Swa Vishnupad Paramhansa Parivajakacharya Srila Bhakti Sananda Saraswati Goswami Maharaj Srila Prabhupada. He said the Premadwani prayers. And then at the end, this was part of the dream, Prabhupada said, after hearing that the whole world joined in the kirtan and bowed down when Prabhupada said that, and then Prabhupada said in the dream, now my Guru Maharaj is satisfied. And Prabhupada replied to Jamuna and said, thank you for dreaming like this. So we should have very nice dreams, big dreams, full of desires, but for Krishna's pleasure. So the cowherd boys and the cowherd men and Pashupa, those who were taking care of the cows, Dukkha and Usokabaya, they were feeling great dukkha, unhappiness. Shoka, remorse, they were lamenting because Krishna was held within the coils of the snake. Baya, they were fearing because Krishna was everything to them. And when you lose everything, what do you have left? Nothing. So they thought, if we lose Krishna, we have nothing. We have no existence. We have no life. We have no breath. We have no reason to live. And in this way, Mudadhiya, with their intelligence completely bewildered, seeing Krishna like this, Nipetu, they fell down on the ground. And Srila Jiva Goswami adds it more, a little bit of, say, graphicness to this. That they fell down on the ground like trees cut at the root. So what happens when you, if you cut a tree at the root, at the very root where it attaches to the ground, it just crashes to the ground. It doesn't care for a careful, soft landing. It crashes to the ground. So these lovers of Krishna, these Brijbasis, they fell to the ground like trees cut at the root. And because they fainted in that way, because of that, they did not enter the lake. Otherwise, and we'll hear this also with the cowherd men, Mother Yashoda and the cowherd ladies, immediately, without thinking, oh, this water must be poisoned, they were ready to immediately run in to protect Krishna. No thought of themselves. So why did Krishna remain adrishta chestam in the coils, unmoving in the coils of Kaliya? There were several reasons that our acharyas give. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur said that he remained there out of pride in his own abilities. He was thinking, oh Kaliya, you first bite me, then you can squeeze me, and after you show me your strength, then soon I will show you mine. Srila Sanatana Goswami says that that Krishna was stunned being embraced by the prema, the love of Kaliya, and he couldn't move because of his being stunned in ecstasy. Okay. We'll just go right on to the... Oh yeah, go back. Let's just... We can read that. This is a nice translation. When the members of the coward community who had accepted Krishna as their dearmost friend, when they saw him enveloped in the snake's coils, motionless, they were greatly disturbed. They had offered Krishna everything, their very selves, their families, their wealth, their wives, and all their pleasures. It was all offered to Krishna. And at the sight of the Lord in the clutches of the Kaliya snake, their intelligence became deranged by grief, lamentation, and fear. And thus, they fell to the ground like trees cut at the root. Sometimes we used to see brahmacharis pay their obeisances like that. But you don't see old men doing that. First we gently go down on our knees a little bit and then sort of wiggle forward. Okay. Gavas. Now, so that was the boys and some of the coward men who were nearby. But now, the cows. So the boys and men were unconscious. And Gavo Visha Vatsatarya. Gavo means the cows. Visha means the bulls. And Vatsatarya, the calves, or the female calves, perhaps. What did they do? Upon seeing, they could see Krishna also. Krishna had protected them. And it's interesting to note that Krishna was herding the cows. He wasn't herding the calves, and he wasn't herding the bulls. But when Krishna was taking out the cows, do you think the bulls would accept that they were going to be left behind? And those calves that Krishna had previously brought out into the forest, do you think when the cowherd men said, you have to stay back, they would say, yes, Prabhu, I have to stay back? No. From the first day onward, they also came out. And when they saw Krishna like this, Krandamana Sudukitaha. Krandamana means they began wailing and crying loudly in great distress. Dukita, sudukita, in great distress. The men became stunned, practically like animals. And the animals began crying like people. Srila Sanatana Goswami, he doesn't comment that they were crying in great happiness and love, but rather, he says the animals were crying loudly in pain, as if weeping. And they were uttering words that were like the words that humans spoke. And they stood there, and they were shedding tears. They were stunned with grief due to their possessing the highest affection for Krishna. Krishna nyaste ikshanabhita. Krishna nyaste. Nyaste means fixed. And ikshana means their eyes were just fixed on Krishna. Abhita. Bita, due to their great fear. and all the other animals, Sanatan Goswami says. There were buffaloes, there were deer, and there were birds even. All the animals who were even a little more distant than the cows, they also were in this exact same mood. Because this is what it means to be in Braja. This is what it means to be a Brijbasi. It means that one is, Krishna is everything. Krishna is everything. And when Krishna is happy, that is the happiness. And if Krishna is in danger, what is the meaning of life? Rudantya eva tastire. Rudantya, they were crying. Eva, and Eva, Sanatan Goswami says they were crying very, very much. Tatastya, and they stood still. They were like a painted picture, a painting. They couldn't move. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur takes this word Eva over here, Rudantya, crying, as if crying, Eva, as if, and they weren't moving. And he said they actually weren't crying because their eyes were dried. They were as if crying, as if weeping. They could not actually cry because of the fear that they were experiencing. Their eyes had dried up completely. They weren't capable of this. The cows, the bulls, and the female calves, in great distress, called out piteously to Krishna. Fixing their eyes on him, they stood still in fear, as if ready to cry, but too shocked to shed tears. So we first heard about the reaction of the cowherd men and the boys, and then the cows, bulls, and calves, and now the Braja Gopikas, the young girls of Braja. Then, Atta, Braje, Mahot Patas, because all that happens, excuse me, a little later. So then there were omens began to manifest. So Krishna was in this condition, and the devatas being affected, there are transcendental devatas that also act within the land of Braja, of which the devatas in the material realm are expanded parts of, empowered by parts of. So these devatas were attracted to the intimate mood that the Brijbasis were loving Krishna in, and they too forgot Krishna's position as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And therefore, oh, it's happening. This is an omen. Please offer your prayers to Giriraj. Dire, 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 dire. Not too fast, please. when Giriraj was directly before us, we didn't need any lights on. But now we do. Omens manifest next. And these omens were Mahot Patas. They were very, very heavy omens. In Braja they manifest. And there were three kinds. Trivada, certainly very Ati Duruna, most fearsome omens. Udpeto, they arose, Bhuvi, in the earth, Divya, in the sky, and Atmani, in the bodies of the human beings. In all three places, these arose. And what did they mean? Asana. Very imminent. Something inauspicious. Some bhaya. Some danger. Samsina was being announced. It would happen very soon. So this was actually the arrangement. These omens, the devatas, brought them. But actually it was the arrangement of Yogamaya, because the Brijbasis, headed by Nanda Maharaj, Mother Yashoda, they would all, seeing these omens, come running, and they would see Krishna in this condition. And actually, just to bring some joy at this very difficult time, our acharyas say that it wasn't that Krishna wanted the Brijbasis to suffer. He wasn't bringing them to see so that they could see him enwrapped in Kaliya and thereby suffer. He was bringing them because he was going to dance on Kaliya, and he wanted them to see his most wonderful dancing. And also, everyone would know when they saw Kaliya giving Krishna so much distress. Everyone would understand the wickedness of Kaliya, the evil enviousness of Kaliya, and therefore understand why he had to be banished from the river Kalindi. So our acharyas explain the type of inauspicious omens that appeared in the sky. Meteors began to be seen. And in the earth, there were earthquakes. And in the bodies of men and women, in the men, their left eyes began to tremble. And their left side of their bodies began to tremble. And in the ladies, their right sides began to tremble. Ominous danger was clearly coming. Tana Laksha by old Vignan. Veena Ramena Gopanandana Purogama Veena Ramena Ga Krishnam Gyatva Charitam Gatam. So when the gopas headed by Nanda Maharaj, Nanda Puragama, headed by Nanda Maharaj, they saw these signs and they understood that Krishna had gone along. Krishna had gone. They understood Gyatva Charitam Gatam. He had gone to herd the cows without Lord Balaram. And then these inauspicious signs were appearing. What a time to have a wedding. They understood this was the most dangerous position, because no one loved Krishna more than Balaram. And when they understood Balaram wasn't there to protect Krishna, in fact, the Brijvasis, Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda, the only reason, practically speaking, they would allow Krishna to go out and to tend the cows was because Balaram was there. And Balaram, who had performed so many wonderful deeds and who was so powerful and had that mixture of Sakya Bhav and Vatsalya Bhav, love for Krishna, the mood, the protective mood of a parent, and as well as his friendship, they knew that Balaram would always take care of Krishna. The omens, and then Gyatva, understanding that Krishna had gone Vina Ramena without Rama, Balaram. Immediately, from these Dormitaya, these omens, Nidanam, that meant great destruction. Srila Sanatan Goswami, he gives a very, very wonderful alternative meaning to Nidanam. Nidanam means great destruction, even death mixed with these bad omens. What could this mean for Krishna had gone without Balaram? These omens, Sanatana Goswami says, Nidanam also means the greatest wealth would happen, that Krishna was playing in the waters of the Jamuna and enjoying himself. But the cowherd men were not quite thinking like that at this time. Matva praptam atadvida, not knowing, considering these evil omens that had occurred, and not knowing, not being aware of Krishna's opulence and power and omniscience, with that not being in his mind, tat pranas tad manaskara, thinking of Krishna, that Krishna may be in difficulty. He who was tat pranas, he was their life. And their minds were only and always and consistently absorbed in him. If we saw some bad omens, we will think, who knows what we will think. But generally, it will not be, oh, maybe Krishna is facing some difficulty somewhere. It's not going to be like that. But the Brijbasis, their lives and their minds absorbed in Krishna, their lives focused on him. Dukkha shoka mayatura. Atura means overwhelmed. They became overwhelmed by unhappiness, fearful lamentation. That, oh no. And this is the nature of prema. When there is love, there's such a tendency to not want any anxiety. So sometimes our desire to become devotees can be mixed with the desire for shantaras, practically speaking, or just liberation from all anxiety. When I went to Delhi, I don't know if they still have it, when they're doing their Bhagavad Gita book distribution marathon, they have their vans, and on it it says, "Read Bhagavad Gita for an anxiety-free life." And I always wonder what Bhagavad Gita they're reading. Because when one wants to do some service for Krishna, there is blessed anxiety very often, because things don't always go exactly the way we want, even though we have the desire to make our offerings of service to Krishna. So the coward men, dukkha, shoka, but they were overwhelmed by this experience. And then the next, abhala, vridha, vanita.
Abhala
means the children, the vritta, the old people, and the vanita, the ladies, sarva anga, pashu vritta. First of all, just point to this word anga. Do you see it there? Sarve anga pashu vritta. Anga means, because after all, this is a narration where Srila Sukadeva Goswami is speaking to Maharaj Prickett. And in the intensity of his description right now, he says, he calls Maharaj Prickett, oh, anga. So what does anga mean? What does it mean? Part. But like part, this, the part of the body, my arm, my leg, this is called anga. So it has such a sweet meaning, him calling him anga. It means, oh, Maharaj Prickett, who are as dear to me as a part of my own body. There is no separation between us. Our love is so great, our interaction, our dealing is so intimate. Oh, anga. So he was feeling distress at the distress of the Brijbasis, at seeing Krishna in this terrible condition. Oh, anga, all of them, the children, the old people, the vanita, the ladies, all of them, oh, anga, pashuvritta, they adopted pashuvritti. The mentality, practically, they were overwhelmed and were acting like animals in the sense that they immediately, nirjagamur, they went out from Gokul, feeling dina, most fallen, most wretched. They ran out. Even the old ran, the ladies ran, the children ran, feeling so terrible out of fear for Krishna. They ran out. Lalasa means eager. Lalasa. Eager for Krishna darshan. They wanted to see Krishna. When it said that they adopted, when Sukadeva said pashuvritta, they became overwhelmed, like a cow, a calf, walking on marble. Sometimes in the West, I don't know if it's been done in India, but they'll bring on Gopastami or Janmastami, they'll bring a calf into the temple. And the calf on a marble temple floor with his hard hoofs, they have to hold him up because he keeps slipping and stumbling. This is like pashuvritta. So as the residents of Vrindavan were running to see Krishna, just to see Krishna, they were stumbling and bumping into things, tripping on the ground, stumbling, pushing their way through the bushes, even if it had thorns, because they only had one thought in their mind. They wanted to see if Krishna was all right. And they were calling out, Srila Sanatana Goswami explains, as they were running, they stumbled about and fell down constantly. Dina means feeling wretched here, but also means down. They fell down to the ground. They became so greedy to see Krishna. And they were calling out, where is he? Where is he? They had no idea where he was at this time. They did not know he was at the Yamuna. They were greedy to see him. tamstata kataram viksha. Now here's Balaram in the midst of this. And Sukadev Goswami will say something very, very interesting here. Tamstata kataram viksha. Kataram means distress. Viksha, seeing. Balaram, seeing all the Brijbasis, all of them, including the children, the aged and the ladies, all of them in such distress. Bhagavan Madhavo Bala. Usually when we see Bhagavan, it's Krishna. And usually when we see Madhavo, it's Krishna. But this is Bala. This is Balaram who's being referred to. So seeing the distress of the residents in Vrindavan, Bhagavan Madhava, he knew everything. He knew everything. And Madhava, from the Harivamsa, means he is the master, the Dhava, the master of all knowledge. He knew Krishna's position and power. Balaram knew that. Prahasya, kistin, novacha. Prahasya means he smiled. I've seen three meanings of this. He smiled very lightly, or he smiled and laughed, seeing the distress of the residents of Vrindavan. Balaram, who was omniscient, he laughed or he smiled. Prahasyam kisti novacha, and did not say anything. He did not say, "Don't worry, my dear residents of Vrindavan. Do not worry, my dear mother. Do not worry, father. Do not worry, my friends. Please, none of you worry. Krishna, he is all powerful. Nothing can happen to him. He killed so many demons." He did not say one word to reassure him. But he smiled. He smiled, and thereby he saved their lives. Prabhavagya, because Prabhavagya, he knew Krishna's power. So he was reassuring them. And he was going to be the one that protected the cowherd men from all entering into the waters. So he knew Prabhavagya Anujasyasa, Balaram, he, sa, he knew the power of his younger brother, Anujas, of his younger brother. So this is correct how Balaram reacted. Srila Jiva Goswami said that even if Balaram wanted, even if he wanted to speak, to reassure the Brijbasis, even he, who is Bhagavan, omniscient, all-powerful, even though he is Madhava also, without the sanction of Krishna, he was not allowed to say anything. And this was Krishna's desire. But Srila Sukadev Goswami takes this a little bit differently. And Srila Sanatana Goswami says, secretly, he's expressing some anger, subtly, secretly, to Balaram. Anger, of course, in loving affection. But why, Balaram? Why are you acting like this? Yes, you are Bala, you are so strong. And you are Madhava. That means also you are born in the dynasty of Madhu. You don't say anything, because the Maru dynasty is a Kshatriya dynasty. And you have the hard heart of a Kshatriya, not like the soft heart of these Brijbasis. So Sanatana Goswami sees in this some very, very subtle and chastisement by Sukadeva Goswami. Not chastisement, but some anger has come to him. Why? Because he's seeing the distress. He has to describe the distress of the Vrishvasis. And he's thinking, Balaram, you know the situation. Ease their distress. Pacify them. And Balaram, in fact, did do this by his smile. Because the Vrishvasis thought, Balaram loves Krishna. And he is not in anxiety. He knows that everything is going to be all right. Otherwise, he would be crying like we are crying. He would be falling to the ground. And he's smiling. So therefore, they were able to keep their life within their body due to the smile of Lord Balaram. And Balaram knew that Krishna wanted to chastise Kaliya. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur said, though he had the greatest affection for his younger brother Krishna, not less certainly than the Vrishvasis, he understood there was a concealing, a covering of Krishna's power by his Leela Shakti that was operating under Krishna's will. And then Balaram also thought, Krishna, when I'm in the form of Anantashesha, a snake, he never plays with me in this way. He never allows me to embrace him. Why is he acting like this? And he smiled. And Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur also says, when he gave a simple smile, the Vrishvasis lost their lamentation and they thought nothing unfortunate could possibly happen. They became joyful after seeing Balaram's smile and they gave up their desire to give up their lives. So they began to search for Krishna because he had left early in the morning when the sun wasn't so hot, but now the sun was blazing and therefore the cowherd boys and the cows had experienced such thirst. So hours and hours had passed. So how are they going to find Krishna, who was wandering throughout the fields of Vrindavan? Krishna and the boys and the cows, they wandered in one direction and then another direction. They stopped here and they played over here, then they played over there, and they brought the cows to this pasture and that pasture, and then eventually they came to the Yamuna River. So, Anveshama Dayitam, they began to search out their Dayita, their most beloved Krishna. And how did they do this? Krishnan Suchitaya Padai. Krishna's footprints were on the path. Bhagaval Lakshanar Jagmu. And they went looking at these signs, symptoms. What's the other word for Lakshanam? Symptoms, characteristics, that's the word I was looking at. The characteristics of Krishna's footprints in the soft, soft earth of Vrindavan, and they followed that. Padavya Jamuna Tatam. And eventually, they reached the bank of the Jamuna. And why did they search? Because Krishna was their Dayata. He was their dearmost. Tatra tatra. Tatra Abja. Abja means lotus flower. Here and there, amidst, because there were cows and boys, so they were just searching. Where is that footprint of Krishna's? They had that kind of eagerness. They were just searching, and it wasn't easy because Krishna and the cows and the boys had wandered throughout Vrindavan, and Krishna's footprints were in the mixed in with those of the cows and the boys, but they looked for those specific footprints. They searched. They searched for the specific footprints that had the abja, the lotus, the yavan, the barley corn, asani, the thunderbolt, Dwaj, the flag. Krishna's footprints are adorned with this. Vishapati. They were looking for the footprints of the Vaishapati, the master of the Vaisha community. Marge gavam anyapada antarantare. So dispersed amongst all the footprints, there were 900,000 cows, and that's asankhya, and there were so many boys and so many calves and so many bulls, and they were just searching and searching. This is like this spiritual life itself. How can we get Krishna's mercy? How can I find that amongst everything else that goes on? Now that may make it a little hard to read. Marge gavam Thank you. Marge gavam, but you can all see. Yeah, that might be a little bit better. We'll trade. So along the path, along with the cows and other footprints, dispersed, antere antere, nirikshamanam, they were seeing, there's a footprint of Krishna. And yaya anga, my anga again, my dear king, he was filled with that kind of, my king that's seeing it, my dear king who is so dear to me. They're seeing the footprints of Krishna, Sarvatra, and they're going down that path very, very rapidly, impelled by their love for Krishna. And then, please change. And then, this last word over here, you see in the second line, arat. You see that word? Arat. That means from a distance. They approach the river Jamuna, and arat, from a distance, they saw antaridde bhujanga bhoga, that Krishna was in the coils of this huge, monstrous, poisonous snake. And he wasn't moving. Was he alive? Was he dead? They could not tell. Krishnam Niriham, not moving, and seeing him in the water like that, seeing him like that, Gopams Chamuda Dishanam, they became unconscious, Parita Pasum. Oh, excuse me. When they came they saw, they were looking at Krishna, and they were seeing him enwrapped in Kaliya, not moving. And they saw that the cowherd boys and the cows were unconscious on the bank of the river. And they ran forward saying, "What has happened? What has happened? How has this happened? Did the snake grab Krishna from the shore and pull him in? Or has Krishna decided to go into these poisonous waters and the snake grabbed him? Or was it someone else's idea that he entered? What has happened?" They were asking the boys and the men. And the men and the boys, they wanted to answer. They wanted to explain what they knew. But their minds were stunned. And they could not make a sound. Sankrandita paramakajmaram apur artha. And the cowherd men, or rather the residents of Vrindavan, who had ran to the Yamuna to see this disastrous holocaustical sight, they just cried out, Sangrantam Paramakajmalam, in the greatest of distress. And their distress was even more than those cowherd boys on the bank. They cried out in the greatest distress. They were experiencing all these emotions, which were actually the highest ecstasy, because it was all centered upon Krishna. This is all the playing, the interactions of Krishna's antaranga shakti, his internal energy. And touch, or having the shelter of Krishna's internal energy, Krishna's ladini shakti, which is meant for Krishna's service, having this shelter just simply causes ecstasy. And this is ununderstandable. This is ununderstandable to the to common people, to ordinary people, to anyone in the material world. Because for us in the material world, there is happiness, which we want, which means we get what we want, and there's no difficulties, and there's no misery. And then there is distress, which is the opposite of happiness, which we don't, when we don't get what we want, and we are miserable. But this external manifestation, seeming like misery, is something on a completely different level. And Krishna has hidden these transcendental experienced emotions. Completely transcendental. We use the word transcendental, which means basically they have nothing to do with the material world. Krishna has hidden them. He can talk about them. The great souls can talk about them. But we can't see them. Hidden in plain sight. Right before our eyes, these are hidden. Krishna's dealings with the Braja Gopikas, the most intimate, ecstatic, transcendental dealings, are hidden. But right before everyone's eyes, they're described. But no one can see them because we have material conceptions. So when we think of the cowherd boys and the cowherd men and the old men and the ladies and the cows falling to the ground, all we can see is our material conceptions. We don't see exactly what's happening because our mind is filled with material conceptions. When we hear of the dancing of Radha and Krishna with the gopis, or Krishna and the gopis, and the rasa dance. The mind is full of mundane conceptions, so we completely are covered from transcendental reality, the transcendental reality of what happens. Now, we will hear three reactions. The reactions of seeing Krishna like this, of the gopis, the young gopis, then the mothers, the senior ladies of Vrindavan, and then the cowherd men. So gopyo, the young gopis, anurakta manaso, their minds were fully, completely absorbed in Krishna thought, continuously. They were so attached to Krishna, who was the unlimited Supreme Lord. And it's very interesting, this Bhagavate, Bhagavatyanante. Their minds were absorbed in thoughts of the Supreme Lord, who was unlimited. And there he was, seemingly limited by the coils of Kaliya. But these two words, Bhagavate and Bhagavatyanante, are also within the prayers of Maharaj Parikit in the 19th chapter of the first canto, where he prays, let my consciousness, Bhagavatyanante Rati, when he offers three prayers about his desires to the Namo Dvijivyo, to the Brahmins, before he even sees Sukadeva Goswami, he wants his consciousness to be fully absorbed. He prays for the blessing of being fully absorbed in the thoughts of Bhagavatyanante, the unlimited Lord. So the unlimited Lord is not limited by how we think the unlimited Lord should act. In the transcendental realm, he acts just as he likes. Tatsodi dasmita. And they were remembering him. Not just thinking about the Lord. Their minds were absorbed in beautiful, beautiful Krishna. Tatsodi dasmita valoka gira smarantya. They were remembering his loving smiles. The way that he would just glance at them. Viloka and Gira, his words. And Krishna had this way of dealing that was so sweet. And they remembered him, thinking of him like that, and thinking he was lost. Graste. Hina. He was lost, enveloped. Agraste can even mean swallowed. There he was. And they were staring at their beloved, who was being swallowed by this snake. And he was their priyatame. He was completely, fully dear to them. They had no one else but him. He was everything to them. And there he was. So therefore, Brisha, that word Brishya, extremely dukkha-tapita. They were tormented by the sight of what they saw. Shunyam priya yatittam dadrishu trilokam. Now, this means, maybe which is the ones that flash? Maybe we can just turn it off. It might be a little less strobe-like. Sunyayate jagat sarvam Govinda vedahename. Mahaprabhu said that. And this was the mood of the gopis. That seeing Krishna in this situation, the whole world appeared like void to them. Completely empty, meaningless, useless, devoid of life. And this was the mood that Mahaprabhu picked up. They were burning due to the fire of separation from Krishna, even though they were looking directly at him. They felt that in that separation, that mood, the universe had been burned to ashes. There was nothing left. It was void and useless. And Srila Sukadeva Goswami he briefly will describe Mother Yashoda. Takrishna mataram apatyam anupravishtam. Mother Yashoda and all the other ladies too, because they were all on the same platform practically speaking with Mother Yashoda. She just simply fixed her vision on Krishna and just stared at him. Tulya Vyata means the other ladies as well who were equal to her. Sucha. They were the same, and they had, in the midst of this difficult circumstance, they knew just what to do, because Mother Yashoda was heading right for the Jamuna. Nothing could practically stop her from jumping in to grab Kaliya. Grab Kaliya or grab Krishna. But she would have taken Kaliya and actually she had the power to do it. Just a few years ago, there was one young girl, maybe 6 or 7 years old, with her mother. And the young girl was carrying a bag of bananas. And it was a plastic bag. And you could see through it. Now, that's a very dangerous thing to do in Vrindavan. And as she was walking, she was just by right in front of Dwarkadham, actually. This one, you know those monkeys that look like they've been to the gym? One of those big monkeys came out like this and walked over and tried to grab it. And the girl went, "Ah!" And her mother, and the monkey was huge, at least as big as this pundal. The mother just went over to the monkey and went, "Ah!" And the monkey became terrified and ran away. That is the nature of motherly love. There is no fear in it. So Mother Yashoda would have certainly jumped in and ripped apart Kaliya. But this wasn't what was supposed to happen. Samangriya Sucha. The other ladies knew what to do. They held her back. Samangriya. They held her back forcibly and stopped her from jumping in the Yamuna. And Sucha, the tears were pouring from all their eyes like a flood of sorrow. Spilling forth, Shavantya. And then Tasta, Braja Priya Kata, Kantyantan, Asan. They just stood there. And one after another, Braja Priya Kata, they just spoke about the pastimes of Krishna, which is the solace for everyone in this world. Oh, your boy Krishna, when he was just 1 month old, Putin, a witch, grabbed him and she tried to poison him with her breast milk, and Krishna drunk that poison and drunk out her life, and she was dead and he was saved. What do we have to worry about? They were trying to convince Mother Yashoda and keep her alive. And remember the time Krishna kicked the cart and the cart fell down and Krishna was fine? Oh, Yashoda, oh, my dear sister, what do we have to worry about? Krishna will be all right. Krishna will surely be all right. And as this is Krishna Anane Arpita. The way the translation is, standing like corpses. Mritaka Pratika. They were resembling corpses. They were just with no life in their body, just staring at Krishna. But with their eyes fixed upon his face. But this word Krishna Anane Arpita, it's their eyes, Krishna Anane, unto the face of Krishna Arpita, they were offering their eyes. So this is the proper use of the eyes, akshanvantam phalamidam, to offer our eyes to Krishna's form, to offer our ears to Krishna's katha, to offer our hands and bodies in Krishna's service, to offer whatever we have to Krishna, and then our life is being used properly. So this was the reaction of the... There's one comment of Srila Sanatana Goswami that I'll read, but we'll need a little more harmonium too in this one too. This is the words of the mothers. We will all enter the huge lake of the snake king with Yashoda. We cannot return to Braja. What is the day without the sun? What is the night without the moon? What is the cow without the bull? What is Braja without Krishna? Without Krishna, we cannot return to Gokul. We will be incomplete. Where Krishna, who has the complexion of a blue lotus, is absent. It is like a forest with a lake, but that lake has no water. It is surprising that anyone would think that living anywhere without Krishna could possibly be pleasant. How could anyone live in this village again? Since the treasure of our minds have been captured by his sweet speech, without lotus-eyed Krishna, we will not go back to Nanda Gokul. O cowherd women, look! Look! Look at his smiling face. Even though he is being tightly held in the coils of the serpent, look, he's still looking just at us. Thus, they remained standing with their eyes fixed on his face in order to see him. Speaking about Krishna and fixing their eyes on him, they became like clay dolls because they had fainted. And the final verse, the cowherd men. Krishna pranam. What does Krishna pranam mean? Krishna was their life. So the cowherd men, Nandanim Viksha Tam Ridam, seeing Nandana, Nanda Maharaj and all the other cowherd men, seeing Krishna in the lake, Krishna, who is their life, they were entering that lake. But Sabhagavan Balaram Pratyaseda Aseda. He said, no, he forbade them. You cannot enter. Bhagavan Rama Krishna Anubhavavit. And what he did by his power, he stopped them from entering the lake. So our acharyas explain that Balaram, by his smile, oh, everything's all right. Krishna, there's nothing to worry about when Krishna is being disturbed by a tiny snake of this world. What can he do? His smile told him that. And also by his powers of Bhagavan. What he did was expand himself into so many Balarams, and each Balaram was holding back one of the coward men. No, you cannot enter. You cannot enter. Don't enter. And he used arguments too. He used his words that said, remember what Gargacharya has said? Anena sarva durgani yunjan yasyas tadishyati gopa asva samanvita. You have to take care of him. Take care of him with your whole life. This is what Gargamuni said. Anena, he's going to protect you from all dangers. So how could the one who protects you from dangers be in a dangerous situation? So therefore, Balaram said, very soon he's going to come out of the water after defeating this Kaliya. And if you enter this poisonous water, you will die. And if he comes out, but you are gone, who will take care of him? So don't enter. You can't enter. You have to obey the words of Gargacharya. You have to take care of Lala. You have to take care of Krishna. So in this way, Balaram stopped them. And then Krishna, seeing the distress of the Vrishbhasis, he decided to end the ecstatic embrace of Kaliya. And that we shall, Krishna willing, hear about tomorrow.
Hare Krishna, Krishna.
Krishna. Everyone can. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. All the residents of Vrindavan ki jai. Srila Prabhupada Bhaktivinoda ki jai. Nithai Gaur Premananda. Bolo Giriraj Maharaj ki jai.